some worship this morning. Who's up for some worship? When in the Bible it says, if who the Son sets free is free indeed? Why, right, we believe that because we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Amen? I mean, why are we here if we don't believe the Bible is the Word of God? That is our foundation. And I love this next song because it says, talks about the word of God, and it just says, hey, you know what, Lord? If you said it, I believe it. Sometimes it's a little hard to take Jesus at his word because sometimes we're just not feeling it. But you know, your emotions are a little bit deceptive. Your emotions can kind of tell you things that aren't real. But the word of God is solid. It is foundation. It is true. It has been true. It will always be true. And we can take him at his word this morning. Amen? Amen.
I know who you are. The
The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen. Oh, I'm free and forgiven. And I have a future.
Today, I don't know what your week has looked like, but I just feel like the Lord, by his spirit is here today, and he's wanting to remind you of the truth of who you are in Christ. I've discovered as a pastor, it's amazing how many identities people want to grab a hold of and make whatever the thing is to be their identity. And even people on the internet or on YouTube or Instagram will tell you what to believe about who you are and what your true identity is. And yet the Lord today, by His Spirit, is telling you that your identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. And so I just thought, you know, would we just sing it again? And we don't need to even sing it loud, right? We don't need an instrument for my heart to be reminded of my identity in Christ. And I just, we're going to sing it. If we could sing the chorus just a couple more times. But what I was thinking is some of us, yeah, we need this song today, but you also need this song tomorrow. As you take the enemy's darts, as you go into a world that is just chaos and all the words that they're speaking over our hearts, would you allow the Lord to speak over your heart? Would you put the chorus words up again for me, Steve? That I wasn't made. See, I was made to be tending a grave. I was called by name. I was born and I was raised back to life again. Do you believe this? I was made for more. Come on, this is a Monday morning song. So why would I make a bed in my shame when the fountain of grace? Come on, it's an overflowing fountain of His grace. It's running after you today. It's calling you by name. You were made for more. Just choir, let's sing it one more time. One more time, sing it out. And I was.
Talk a little bit about the song that we were just singing. I have decided to follow Jesus. And as we were singing this, I was thinking about this, and it's easy to follow Jesus in this room, right? Surrounded by our brothers and sisters in Christ. But am I following Jesus when I step outside those doors into a really hard and difficult world? Am I following him on I-5 when someone cuts me off? Am I following him in the Starbucks line when the person in front of me orders 20 things in the drive-thru and the barista's a little slow? Am I following him in my workplace when I encounter so many people that don't know him? Or in our schools? See, following Jesus is a matter of obedience. But not just when it's convenient or easy. We are called to follow him at all times, during every season. And sometimes that's on the mountaintops, and sometimes that's in the valleys. But following him is an act of obedience in every circumstance, in every area of our life. At the wedding in Cana, before Jesus turned the water into wine, he asked them to bring him the water. Because sometimes the greatest miracles happen out of a simple act of obedience. And simple obedience means that we are deciding to follow him. Ushers, if you could go ahead and pass out the elements. So as we take communion this morning, can we think about our decision to follow Jesus? What does that look like as we walk that out in our everyday life, in the simple decisions that we make and in the hard decisions that we make? What does it mean to live a life following Jesus? No turning back. Because it's when we take those simple steps of obedience, miracles happen. Our lives are transformed. Hearts are renewed through those simple steps of following him. We're going to take the bread together. And the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus, we remember you through this taking of the bread and drinking of the cup. We remember the sacrifice you made to set us free, to give us resurrection power, that we might live forever with you, but we might live in the here and now, life and life abundantly. Lord, may we seek after you. Our decision to follow you, Lord, remind us of that every day, in every season, no matter where we walk, Lord, we know you walk with us. So Lord, may we have hearts obedient to you. May we lay our lives at your feet, Lord. For we have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We praise your mighty name this morning. And all of his people said, amen, amen. Can we give the Lord a praise this morning and also thank our worship team? Such a great time in the Lord this morning. It's so good to be in the house this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, this is the time in our service that we release our kids. Do we have any kids in the house today? Could you stand up? So good. And who is teaching today? Ashley, are you teaching today? Katie is teaching. You guys have Miss Katie. Wow, she's amazing. You guys are so lucky. She's so good. All right, let's pray for our kids as they head out to class. Stretch out your hands. Lord, we just thank you so much for these little ones. We know, Lord, there is no junior Holy Spirit, Lord, that you speak to and through these littles, Lord. So, Lord, just pour into them this morning as they learn about you. Give them hearts to receive. Be with the teachers this morning. And, Lord, we give you the glory in all of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, as the kids head to class, we have a few announcements this morning. So as you walked in, you will see we got new connection cards and new bulletins. Aren't these cool? These are awesome. This one-page thing. There's all sorts of things. You can scan this QR code on the back, and it takes you to our website. So you can see all sorts of different things, our events and stuff on our website. But if you are new here, we are so glad that you are with us this morning. If you could fill out the bottom of this, this is our connection card. You could just fill out the bottom. If you have a prayer request, you can put those on the back. And they tear off at the bottom. And you can bring them back to our Welcome Center, which is right over here at the end of service. And we'll have a gift for you. We would love to connect with you after service today. So be sure to fill that out and go check out our Welcome Center after service. And everybody, when you walked in, you should have gotten one of these. Can you wave these if you got one of these? A table for eight? I don't see. Come on, wait. There we go. Okay, I was like, this is very unenthusiastic waving. But you should have received a table for eight. And we are so excited to be launching this as a part of our life groups. A table for eight, you know, it's really hard to get to know people on a Sunday morning, right? We have like 15, 20 minutes to be able to talk to people. We want to give opportunity for you to be in connection with other people. And that is what a table for eight is. We have 13 different tables that you can join, right? That's amazing. We have tables that are meeting in a park. We have tables that are meeting in a coffee shop. We have a barbecue table. We have a workout table for beginners. I'm thinking if I sign up for the barbecue table, I might also need to sign up for the workout table. But these are all sorts of different ways to engage and be in community with each other. And those tables are going to be doing what we call SOAP. That's scripture, observation, application, and prayer. Really easy. You just have to bring a Bible. That's all you have to do and show up to these tables. So you can sign up. There's a QR code that's on the screen. You can scan in order to sign up. You can also go under the events tab at lifespringfs.com. You can come and see me. But on the back of this paper are all the different groups that we have and the times that they're meeting and the days. So we'd love to have you join us in a table for eight. It is going to be amazing. And we have another chance for connection today. This is our after church meet and greet. And this is for young adults. So if you are between 18 and 30, they are meeting at Domino's today at 11:45 after church. So I know I see lots of older disappointed faces. Like, what do you mean? But for 18 to 30, go to Domino's after church, 11:45. It's going to be a great time. If you want some more information, you can see Braden. He'd be happy to tell you all about that. Okay, I'm going to ask everyone to stand up and turn to your neighbor and say hi. Meet somebody new today. Connect with someone today. Let me move all of this out of the way. Oh, thank you. I needed communion. I was like, I'm looking around, so I'm crabby.
got to jump back up on the stage. I'm sorry.
All right, Live Spring. Good job meeting and greeting each other. You guys are professionals at this. It's awesome. I'm going to have you take a seat, and we are going to continue in our worship this morning with the giving of our tithes and offerings. And if this is your first Sunday here, again, welcome. We're so glad to have you here. Please don't feel obligated to give at this time. But if you call LifeSpring your home, we have several ways to give. You can give online, going to lifespringfs.com under the giving tab. You can text it, you can mail it, or you can place it in the basket of that's going to come around being passed out by our amazing ushers. So can we pray over our tithes and offerings? Lord, you are good. You are a good Father. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We thank you so much, Lord, for everything that you have given to us. So, Lord, as a sacrifice, Lord, and as an offering to you, we lay out our tithes and offerings before you. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you would take these and use them to the furthering of your kingdom. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, LifeSpring. Before I get started with my message for today, Sonia, I'd like to invite her up front. She has a short testimony she'd like to share with us this morning, and she's making her way here, and we'll get into the rest of today's service.
You get to hold it for me. The Lord has really been speaking to me a lot, probably since last August, when we filled out the application for the mission trip. And I filled it out, and I thought, I don't know if they'll let me go or not, because I'm really old. And when we were singing that song, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. When you get to a certain age, a lot of your mail, a lot of your messages are all about, what are you going to do? What are you going to, when you retire, what are you going to do with all the things you have? And I was thinking this morning that that is like tending a grave. It's a plan for when I die. And when I got to go on the mission trip, it was such a testimony to me that God still has plans for me. There's a lot of things I can't do, but he said there's still a lot of things I can do. And one of the things that he has called me to do, and if we are really following Jesus, like the song today, and if we are really wanting to be like Jesus, we need to learn and choose. First we need to choose, and then we need to learn how to love unconditionally. No matter what a person looks like, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, God loved us while we were yet sinners. And we are going to choose to follow him. It has to be a choice. And I get a lot of opportunity because I pick my granddaughter, I take her to school or pick her up. And if you go and sit in front of a high school, it gives you a lot of opportunity to pray and love unconditionally, because it doesn't matter what they look like or whatever. You just feel God's love, and you can pray and speak life over people who are choosing to choose death. This week, the Lord really spoke to me because I decided, in fact, when I was a little girl, I had four of us. And we used to sing, there was a song that was in the Free Methodist Church. And it was, I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't give up, I won't give up. Well, my sisters and brother and I had a different version. We would sing, I am a turnip and I've made up my mind. Instead, because somehow we got it twisted around. But I've always chosen, that was my motto, I will follow Jesus. I want to follow him. But this week, the Lord spoke to me. And I wanted to say, I want to give my life to the Lord. God, I want to give my life to you. But this week, God spoke to me and he said, do you want to live my life for you? Do I want to live the life he has chosen for me? Not what I thought following God would be, but the life that he has chosen for me.
Thank you so much, Sonia. May we endeavor to live the life that the Lord has called us to live. Not on our terms, but in his terms. Amen? And before I get started here, it's the first Sunday of the month, and so we talk about our building fund, and I have an update for you guys. If we could put that number up there, $432,000, $424. And so, as we have mentioned here, that we don't have a building, and we feel like the Lord has called us to raise funds for wherever he is calling us to go to next and leading us. And we want to prepare for that. That takes some preparation. And so with a building, these things, everything we do here, it takes finances. Surprisingly, it does. And so we want to continue collecting funds for our building. And so we'll pass this house around, and whatever funds you have on you, whether that's a dollar or even if it's more, or you feel like the Lord is calling or asking you to write a check, you put that in here and it goes directly towards our building fund. And so they'll pass this around. It'll come around to you. And as I said, thank you guys for giving above and beyond at LifeSpring. We thank you guys for your faithfulness. So my message for today, I've titled it Living the Job Description Called to Witness Everywhere. And we'll be in Acts chapter 1. And with it being the Sunday after Easter, I have been considering and praying about what I'd be sharing on this morning for a few weeks now. And early on, I knew I was going to be speaking from the book of Acts. By the way, if you are here for Resurrection Sunday, if you served in any capacity, those of you who took flowers and invited your friends or took invites and invited your friends, man, what an amazing Sunday it was, wasn't it? Come on, that deserves a round of applause. Such a joy-filled morning. And you know, Easter is the high point of the church year, and many refer to it as the Super Bowl of the church. But did you know, and I was reminded of this past week as one of my friends posted about it on Facebook, did you know that Easter is actually a 50-day celebration? It actually starts on the eve of Easter Sunday and ends on the day of Pentecost, which is why it's 50 days. And so let me walk through why 50 days. Well, it's quite simple. After the resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days on earth before he ascended, and then there were 10 more days after that before the day of Pentecost. Luke writes in the first chapter of Acts in verse 3 that Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. In chapter 2 of Acts, we find the followers of Jesus gathered for the day of Pentecost, which actually means 50. And it happened during the Hebrew feast of Shavuot, which is why the followers of Jesus were gathering. The Hebrew festival was originally a harvest of first fruits celebration, and later it had evolved into a commemoration of the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. So the great 50 days, or Eastertide, or Easter season, or Easter time, among a few other names as they're commonly referred to, are a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus and all that means for us, leading to the launching of the Christian church and its mission on Pentecost. As I read through Acts chapter 1 in preparation for today, it got me thinking Have you ever thought of the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension to heaven of being similar to that of a job interview? Track with me. I know you're like, what is he talking about? In a job interview, candidates are evaluated for their suitability for a role. They're given insights into the company's mission and, if successful, offered a position with responsibilities. Similarly, during these 40 days, Jesus was preparing his disciples for their ultimate assignment, to be witnesses to the ends of the earth, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So if you consider a job interview, the 40 days would break down something like this. I'd liken it to something like this. In a job interview, there's a reviewing of the job description, right? And I would liken that to Jesus' teaching about the kingdom. In days leading to his ascension, Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. And this can be seen as going over the job description with them, with his disciples. He clarified the nature of the kingdom, correcting misunderstandings and setting expectations. Now, sometimes in a job interview, there are questions. And I would liken this to the questions from the disciples. They always had a lot of questions. I still have questions too. But just like in an interview, the disciples had questions such as when, they asked, if Jesus was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Jesus redirected their questions to focus on the mission ahead, emphasizing reliance on the Holy Spirit rather than knowing all the details. And then the last part, I'd say, is the offer letter. And what I would liken this to is the promise of the Holy Spirit and the Great Commission. The promise of the Holy Spirit is the receiving of an offer letter, equipping the disciples with power from on high for their mission. This mission, again, to be witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This was their ultimate assignment. Keep tracking with me. Let me ask you, do you remember the first job interview you ever did? Was it a great experience? I've rarely heard of anyone who felt confident, calm, and prepared for their first job interview, or even their 10th. Or maybe that's just me, you know? Interviews are generally stressful and unpredictable, and you're working so hard to represent yourself so well that with all the nervousness, you could easily forget your name. Or maybe that's also just me. However, there's this one guy I came across who seems to never be stressed out about interviews, and our media team will be queuing up this video as we get ready to turn our attention to the screens. I advise you, do not do the things he does with these interviews, all right? Let's take a look at this.
I don't usually mind overtime. It's like...
I don't recommend you drive while we do this.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm parked up now.
Thanks, Jim. Let's check out. My name is Diane Coffey, and I'm from Tacoma today.
May I have a fish sandwich, please? No.
Okay. Are you available to work weekends?
Yes.
Fish sandwich?
Fish sandwich, please. Saturday and Sunday?
Anything else?
Just one fish sandwich. That'll be all.
$4.80, please, per round. Thank you.
Thank you. Saturday and Sunday is perfect.
You know, I can see you. I know you're ordering food, but on this interview.
No, I'm not. I'm parked up. I'm in my car right now.
I can see that you're ordering a fish sandwich at McDonald's while you're doing this interview with me.
No, I'm not ordering anything. If I was, I'd be at Popeye's, but
I heard you ask for a fish sandwich. You need to order food, or would you like to do this interview?
No, I'll do the interview. Yeah, I wasn't ordering food. If I was, I already ordered it, but I didn't. Yes. Do you have any ketchup? I mean, like, how soon were you...
No, I'm not the drive-through, so I don't provide ketchup.
Yeah, I know. You're kind of making me hungry. I kind of want to go to a drive-through now. But,
You are at a drive-through. I can see you.
No.
Yes,
I see...
Yes. You are at a drive-through.
No, I see how you would think that.
Thank you.
I pulled into this random restaurant to do this interview.
You just asked for a fish sandwich. I can see and hear everything you're doing. Listen, maybe we should schedule this at another time. Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
I am parked up now.
No, thank you. Okay, so what, hi.
What's up?
Are you, can you please not eat during our interview?
I'm not eating.
Okay. Because, I mean, this is a serious interview, so if you're not prepared to be serious during the interview, then we can't conduct this interview.
Oh, okay. I'm not eating.
Okay, are you prepared to continue the interview?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what is your highest? All right, sir, we're going to end this interview.
I'm not eating. I'm just...
Are you eating, sir?
Oh, no, I'm not eating.
Okay. All right, sir. All right, so we're done. We're done with this interview. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm sorry, but I have to be able to take this seriously, and this is not acceptable.
I'm not eating. If you're both okay. I'm eating. I'm trying nothing.
Thank you very much.
Mm-mm.
And so, you can go on the internet. He has tons of videos that he posts like this, and I would say that he's probably not nervous or stressed because he's not really interviewing for the job. Don't do what he does, all right? Now, remember earlier how I likened the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension to that of a job interview. Well, I want you to think for a few minutes about this mission and what might seem to you as the scariest job interview you will ever have. What is that? It is to be a witness for Jesus Christ in today's world. If you have a fear of rejection, or a fear of speaking on your feet, or a fear of ridicule because of your faith, Jesus' words that we are to be his witnesses first in Jerusalem, then to Judea and in Samaria, and finally to the ends of the earth, well, that's pretty intimidating, isn't it? See, remember that during this period of 40 days, Jesus spent time with his disciples and he taught them about the kingdom of God. And with each day, his disciples got more and more excited. Finally, they asked him in verse 6 of Acts 1, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? See, they thought that Jesus was preparing them to help in building his earthly kingdom. And they were ready, willing, and able, or so they thought, to assist him. But at that time, I am not sure that the disciples really knew what they were signing up for. They didn't really understand what was happening, and that brings us to our passage for today. Acts chapter 1, verses 7 to 14. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In our Bible passage today, Jesus gives us a plan, doesn't he? His plan for our lives is that we will be his witnesses. Now, before you pull up a map and try to find out Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth, let's scale this command to our lives today. Our Jerusalem is our city, our community. For the disciples, Jerusalem was a dangerous place because they were opposed by the Roman government and by the Jewish religious leaders. Your Jerusalem is the place where you have the most influence, but it's also the place where people know your past and your flaws. Judea is a larger region around you. Now, Samaria is a place you refuse to go because it's outside your comfort zone. Or the people there, they scare you, or you have some prejudice against those people that you don't want to confront. But yes, even there, Jesus did command us to go. No more excuses. And the ends of the earth doesn't need any explanation. In a day and age when technology allows anyone to communicate with strangers around the world, we have the opportunity every day to share our faith to the ends of the earth. We have never been better equipped for this calling. So what does it take for us to complete the calling that Jesus gave his disciples? After all, we will need help because it's intimidating, so intimidating that very few people who say they follow Jesus actually attempt to be a witness to all. And so I have some points here that I think can help us. And if you're taking notes here this morning, I'd encourage you to write these down. The first one, first and foremost, if we are going to be his witnesses, we will need to pray. See, action without prayer is like planting seeds in a desert. Better yet, get a team together and pray. Notice what the disciples did after Jesus was taken up into heaven. They returned to Jerusalem, and Scripture says, join together constantly in prayer. We cannot be witnesses to something we've never experienced. We have to surrender our lives to the Lord. And prayer is the experience of taking on the mind and heart and will and wisdom of God. Prayer is the point where the Holy Spirit fills us with God's power. God never calls us to do his work unless he empowers and equips us to do it. Like the disciples, we today pray fervently for God to heal and transform this world. And God is saying, like, yes, I will answer your prayer. I do want to do that. I will transform the world. But this will happen only through you and me. We are the witnesses. He works through us. Jesus spent his whole life on this earth praying to the Father and preparing us for service. See, it's easy to say that it's a task of the church to reach the world. And so often what we really mean by that is that it's the ministers or it's the pastors or the people who are employed by the church. It is their job to do that. But friends, you are a witness, whether you know it or not. You are either a compelling witness for Jesus Christ or you are a confounding witness against him. If the world is going to be healed and transformed, it will happen through our witness. Our assignment is to find out what the Lord is saying to each of our world. And whom does our world comprise of? Well, your family, your circle of friends and acquaintances, your co-workers. You are God's answer to the questions of the skeptic. The skeptic wants to know, is God real? Are the promises of God true? You are the answer. We are exhibit A of Jesus Christ. Like it or not, I know that's a huge task. And while the burden of that is staggering, the blessing thereof is wonderful. And because we are exhibit A of Jesus Christ, then what does witness look like in your life? What does witness look like in your family, in our community, in the world? Do people see and experience the character and blessings and the message of God when they look at us? If that question doesn't make us want to stop right now and pray fervently for God's power and guidance, I don't know what else will. My second point is this. The second essential step if we are going to be his witnesses is we must go. We must go. We, the church, do not exist for our own pleasure or fellowship. Let me say that again. We, the church, do not exist for our own pleasure or fellowship. I love each and every one of you. I really do. And we love having potlucks and doing all the things we do. But we do not exist for our own fellowship. Neither are we simply a social service institution. We are the body of Jesus Christ, reaching out with loving arms to the world. It is so easy to forget who we are and what we're about when we get together sometimes like this. Yes, we can share our faith and Jesus' love in our homes and in our churches. Those are the first and best places to live our faith enthusiastically and consistently. But we have to get outside our homes and our churches if we are going to live out our purpose as Jesus followers. Jesus shared his countercultural attitude and priorities and truth with people in the workplace, in the market, in the synagogues, and in the streets. He spoke to the powerful and powerless. He spoke to his friends and family, and he spoke to the strangers and outsiders. He loved the unlovable, healed the hopeless, freed those in bondage, and stood firm in the face of persecution. By some estimates, scholars say that Jesus traveled over 3,000 miles during his 3 years of ministry. And everywhere he went, he shared the message and the love of God by his words and by his actions, but also by the people he hung out with, the people he ate with, and the people he healed, and the people he befriended. And that is what following Jesus will entail for us. The same power that raised him from the dead lives inside you. Lives inside you. We get to love people really well who would never step foot in a church. God isn't contained inside these four walls here. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, so that the living presence of God could take up residence inside every believer. That means that wherever you go, God goes too. The presence and the power and the love of God goes with you into every situation. Doesn't that make you want to get out there and fulfill your purpose? Doesn't it reassure you that Jesus didn't make a mistake when he chose you as his witness? He chose you. And if you don't know him, today's a great day to get to meet him. You know, and even as I'm sharing on this, I feel like some of us, we don't need another sermon. We don't need another podcast. We don't need another song. We don't, therapy and counseling and a coach and diagnoses, all of those things are important, but some of us just need the Zoe life that Jesus gives us, need the dunamis power, need his Holy Spirit to wash over us, to live inside us, and to flow outside of us. And then, yes, maybe a sermon and some songs and some life groups and doing community together and sharing your story. Some of us just need to meet him again. He chose you as his witness. Turn to the person next to you and tell them he chose you as his witness. Now turn, you got to say it louder than that. You don't sound convinced that you are his witness. Now turn to the other person, the one you didn't speak to at first, and said with more fervor, he chose you to be his witness. The final step, this is my third point here. If we are to be his witnesses, is to trust God. This is the hardest step, isn't it? See, sermons and discussions about sharing our faith makes us feel nervous or guilty because we think that we don't have the right personality or exciting faith story or eloquence or the charisma. You know what's wrong with that previous sentence? The word we. It's not about you or me. It's about God's Spirit working in us. And I want you to trust that the Holy Spirit is putting power behind your efforts and conviction behind your words. Trust that the Holy Spirit is going before you, preparing the minds and hearts of those you encounter whom you may never know. And then You may never know how God will use your attitude, your choices, your priorities, your caring, or your words to touch another life and open someone's mind to the message of Jesus. Friends, can you commit to being a witness every day in every situation, even if you never feel capable, even if you never feel ready, even if you never know how God is working in you to heal and transform the world? I'll be showing you another clip here, but before we play this clip, I want to give you some background. This clip is from a show on BBC Two. I watch a lot of European television, I know. I watch a lot of American television too, but I do watch a lot of things from Europe and British television. And on BBC Two, there is a show called Pilgrimage, the Road Through North Wales. And this is the sixth series, and the first episode of this season aired on March 29th. And it will continue to follow over the next few weeks. Seven celebrities of differing faiths and beliefs experience. And so as we get ready to look at this, I want you to truly listen to what the guy is saying in this video here.
It existed. Yeah. I thought he was could have been made up as well. That's not disputed.
No.
So I didn't realize that. So I thought Jesus Christ was either something that you believe in or you don't. I thought he was fictitious.
Yeah, no. So he's not. He's a real person.
I honestly feel like this is... What a big deal.
Yeah, I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's... I have kind of likened religion to just fairy tales before.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's kind of like, well, they're great stories.
Yeah, people do.
And they transcend time because they're such good stories.
Yeah.
So you're all excited that you found out that Jesus was a real person, Spencer?
Honestly, I kind of feel a bit stupid.
I'm so proud of it.
But yeah. That's changed a lot. I did, yeah.
No, he was here. He was on this earth.
Is it real dude?
Yeah, he's a real dude.
But is there photographic evidence?
Well, no, there weren't photographs.
So is there any evidence at
all? Yes, it's all scripture.
Isn't that an interesting clip, hmm? You don't know. You don't know. The people you're sitting with at Starbucks, the people you're walking with, maybe in the grocery store. But then you also never know how a conversation about Jesus or how your attitude as to why you responded this way or why you're this way might lead to truth in someone's life. We're living in 2024, and we could probably say, which rock has this guy been under? But I don't think that is the approach. It is. We have so many people like that walking around us. And if we would just have childlike faith to be able to speak about him, to live like him, and to do the things he's calling and asking us to do. Jesus is a real dude. That's what the guy said. He really is a real dude. Friends, you never know. When you give your witness to what God has done in your life, you never know when God will use that to turn someone else's life around. This guy was just sharing, I know Jesus. And it unfolded in that way. Jesus could have shared the whole plan with us. He could have answered all our questions and even the disciples' questions. Would that make us a more powerful witness for him? Probably not. Because it's not about you or me. He does not need you to be more eloquent or more charismatic or more extroverted. He needs you. He needs us to be filled with his Holy Spirit, the living presence and power of God, and send you out to live like he did, to love like he did, and share the message of God like he did. Amen? Now, I want to backtrack a little bit to the earlier verses in Acts 1. In the earlier verses of Acts 1, Jesus gives his disciples a difficult assignment. He tells them to wait. And don't you think that's interesting? Before they did anything else, they were to wait. But what is it for which they are waiting? Well, they're waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I won't read the verses there through Acts 1 through 5, but you see there, Jesus told them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father that was promised. And then verse 8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you. This is the last thing Jesus says to them before he leaves this earth. Actually, there are basically two commands that Jesus gives them in this passage. The first is to wait for the gift of the Spirit, and the second is that they are to be his witnesses, which we've already talked about. Be his witnesses. These two commands are sequential. Wait and then witness. Why do I say they are sequential? Well, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power we need to bear witness to our faith. Many of us grew up loving the King James Version of this verse here from Isaiah 40 verse 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We love this so much that they even created a song about it. And you really had to like dig real deep. And it's like, but they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up on wings like eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. We live in a society that's not patient. Would you wait upon the Lord before you move? Wait upon the Lord. Waiting precedes witnessing. The Holy Spirit gives us power for this demanding task, and the work and power of the Spirit can be likened to that of gasoline. See, the power of gasoline can be experienced in two different ways. It can be unleashed or it can be harnessed. Suppose I was to drop a lighted match in a 10-gallon barrel of gasoline. What will happen at that point? Well, I would probably die. 10 gallons of gas can produce quite an explosion. On the other hand, suppose I were to pour those 10 gallons of gas into the gas tank of my car, then depending on the fuel efficiency of my car, I might be able to drive hundreds of miles. Dropping a lighted match into a barrel of gasoline might produce a spectacular effect, but a controlled burn will take me a lot further in life. Church, the Holy Spirit is the fuel in our tank to help us be all that Christ has called us to be. Therefore, we must pursue the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pursue the gift of the Holy Spirit. As I start winding down here, you'll remember that at the beginning of our time today, I likened the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension to that of a job interview, where Christ himself has given us, you and I today, the job description of our mission here on earth. And it's a job description that Jesus has given to all believers. If you've surrendered your life to him, this is for you. He's given us the commission to love God and neighbor, make disciples, and witness to the ends of the earth. So I want to ask you today, how well do you understand your role in God's kingdom? How well do you understand your role to be his witness? And how are you living out this job description? He has also given us an offer letter. Are we today willing to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill our mission? Church, would you today, those of you sitting in here, those of you tuned in online, those of you who are listening to this at a later date, would you today accept and renew this offer with him? By surrendering to the Holy Spirit and engage in the mission with courage and with faith. As I get ready to close here, I'm going to invite my wife to come pray for us. Friends, there's a world outside these doors that is waiting to be healed and transformed. And if you are willing, as my points say, to go, to pray, and to trust God to work in you, then you will be His witnesses to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. Amen.
Let's pray. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, I pray for all of us hearing this message. Lord, I know sometimes hearing a message like this or thoughts go to what we've seen other people do, how we've seen other people witness, how we've seen other people reach other people. But God, I pray for each one of us that as we accept this mission, as we renew this offer from you, Lord, and we ask you for more of your Holy Spirit, God, I just ask for clarity, Lord, for open eyes and open ears to know what is the work that you've called each one of us to do, even if it looks different, even if it might be unorthodox, even if it goes against what everyone else has done. God, I pray that each one of us will walk boldly into that thing that you have called us to. I think of the verse, raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And it's so easy to think that that means that we should raise every child the same way. But that's not what that verse means. And that's not what you're calling us to, God. You've got a mission for each one of us that might look so different from what we've even seen other people do. And so I just pray that for each one of us, everyone who's heard this message or will hear it in the future, Lord, that you will give us eyes to see, ears to hear, open hearts, to go into doing what it is that you have prepared for us, God. And if we have to wait, let us wait. Give us the patience to wait. And teach us in that time about what it is that you would have us do. And may we take each step in faith, in obedience, holding on to you, relying on your Holy Spirit to be the witness that you have called us to be, Lord. And we thank you that you will do this if we will let you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So, the last 3 points of my sermon, well, the 3 points, the last, it talks about to pray, to go, and to trust God. And that has been our lives in so many ways. And so I'll start with today. Today, after much prayer, after seeking the Lord, after talking with Pastor Dan and counsel, we're here to tell you that at the end of this month, I will be officially stepping down as the co-lead pastor at LifeSpring. And there's no financial misconduct. There's no moral failure. There's no illegalities. I'm not leaving the pastorate. But I'll give you some context. Sometime last year, I received a job offer. And I said, I'm not looking for a job. I received a second one. I said, I'm not looking for a job. I received a third one. I said, I'm not looking for a job. And probably about the second, but by the third one, I was like, well, Lord, maybe you are saying something here. And it would be unwise of me and of us to not consider what you may be doing here. And then I receive a fourth one, and I said, I'm not looking for a job, but we'll pray about it. And some of those fizzled out, and some of those, well, they haven't panned out. I haven't said yes to any of those positions. And I haven't even told the team this. I got another one on Friday, and I said, I don't feel that is what the Lord is calling us to do. And so, after spending time in prayer, I really felt like the Lord said, our season at LifeSpring is coming to an end. And this is hard on my heart. Because we love you guys deeply. And we've moved a few times. It's about this obedience to go, but also the obedience to trust Him in the midst of it. And so, as I've said, we're announcing this today. We'll be here through the end of April. I don't have an offer that we've said yes to. And so why now? Well, as I mentioned earlier, LifeSpring is in a building campaign. And one of the things I mentioned to Dan and the council is that I think it would be very disingenuous of me and very unwise of me to be carrying on the next few months saying this is what we're doing, knowing that the Lord has spoken to both of us that this time is coming to an end. But then also I love this man so deeply. And it's like, Lord, you know, when I came to LifeSpring, I really thought it's just where I'd pastor out the rest of my years. We have a good thing going on here. But the Lord prompts and He shifts and He calls us. And because I love Him, I also need to give Him some time to cast vision as to what this next new season will look like for LifeSpring. What it will look like. Because outside of me, outside of Him, the Lord is still doing something here at LifeSpring. And will continue to do something here at LifeSpring and in each and every one of your lives. And so we've talked to the district. My most recent conversation with them was last week. And in the month of May, we'll be taking a break to rest, to be ready for whatever the Lord is calling us into next. But also, just receive some healing for whatever next looks like for us. We don't know what that is. But then also during that time, it'll give LifeSpring and its leaders to seek the Lord as to what next looks like. And then come June, if we still don't know anything, LifeSpring gets to wait with us. We will attend church at LifeSpring, be a part of the life and the community and what the Lord is doing here until we know what our next assignment is. And so, if you're also, let me just say this, if you're visiting today, or if you're tuning in online, or you recently started coming to LifeSpring, I'd encourage you to keep attending, keep pressing in. More than anything, I would say to you that you would see how deeply we love as a community. How deeply our heart is to pursue the Father. How deeply it is for us to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. And for us to live and do the things He's asked us and called us to do. So keep coming. And I'm so sorry if this is your first day and this is the news you're hearing. But this is an amazing place to be. And so, Pastor Dan and Mary, he's up here. Really, because our lease ends at the end of this year in May, June, we really need to be knowing what next look like for us. And again, I think it would be very hurtful, very unwise of me to be communicating, this is what we're doing, knowing the Lord has called us to step out. We've communicated this to our council, and they're so gracious, and I would like to call up our council at this time, if you guys can come forward. Rich Taylor is on our council, and he wasn't able to be here today. There's someone in his family who isn't doing too well. I have full confidence in what the Lord is doing here. I have full confidence in this team. I have full confidence in Dan and his wife, Mary. You know why that is? Because Jesus is constant, but also because Jesus is their constant. And so they will continue to seek the Lord and pray about what next steps look like. Also, if you're on our staff, whether that's paid or volunteer staff, and on our leadership team, I'd ask you to come forward. I hadn't planned on doing all of that, but would you come forward as well? If you're on our leadership team, I know you're like, what is happening? We love you all so much. So much. Again, I don't know what is next. The Lord hasn't told us that yet or given us the confirmation of that. But we will continue to wait. We'll continue to pray. And then when He has fully revealed that, we will go and you get to send us and be a greater part of that story. These people are capable, more than capable, by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside each and every one of them. What we've communicated to the district is that we want to stay in the Pacific Northwest, in Washington area, which is a joyful thing. Our schedule and times and things won't look the same. But I would pray that even now, would you continue, even as this is difficult, this obedience is difficult, follow the Lord as He's calling you to follow Him. But then also I'd say for Pastor Dan and our staff, me stepping down at the end of this month means that we're losing about 50 to 60 hours of work on the table. We won't be hiring that position. Well, Pastor Dan won't be hiring that position again because we have a building fund that we're working towards and on the horizon. And so I'd say be gracious and patient with your pastor. We've had a lot of time. Co-pastoring has made this work so much easier. They're difficult things, but it's made it so much easier. We're able to take more meetings. We're able to do hospital visits together or separately. But he won't have all that time as he used to before. So be patient with this team. That doesn't mean that they won't lead. They will continue to do that. I know them. But if they can't meet with you as often as they used to, give them grace. And as you pray for us, be praying for LifeSpring, but also be praying for this team. Be praying for our council. That which He has started, He's faithful to complete. As I said, we're here through April, in a sense, on staff fully. And, well, if you want to meet with me, if you want to hang out with us, reach out to me. I'd love to do that. We'll take a break in May, we'll be gone for a few weeks. If we don't know anything, the plan is to be back here in June. The district said, the person I was talking with said, I waited 6 months. We don't know if it's 6 months, but however long it will be, you guys get to wait with us, and we get to see what that will look like.
So we want to pray for Jesse and Debbie, but I just want to just remind us of the weight of this moment and gravity of this moment. That one, God is good, and God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. But today, what we're saying in many ways is this is probably the last time Jesse is going to preach a sermon here until we ask him to come back as a guest, and that's kind of emotional for me. That's a big deal. And so if there's tears that come with that, that's okay. If there's grief that comes with that, I think that would be very appropriate. That makes me sad. I'm happy that we're sending them out, but I'm also really sad that I don't get to sit in the front row and watch one of the best preachers I've ever heard preach, right? And we are sending them out. One thing I've discovered at LifeSpring, I don't say this to say this bad about anyone that's still here, but we send out our best, don't we? Right? We really do. And we are sending out Jesse and Debbie as two of the greatest people I know. I mean, I love this couple. And I just want to encourage you that come the next few weeks. Also, if you want to meet with them or if you have questions, I'd love for you to meet with them. That would be awesome because I'll still be here. So you can meet with me for many months and years to come. But over the next couple of weeks, just put that on them. That would be great. But they want to talk to you. Like they want to hug you and celebrate with you. They love you. Jesse and Debbie, they love you, LifeSpring. We are sending them out. They are not leaving out of some offense or anything like that. They are trying to say yes to the Lord. And so I'm proud of them. I love them. And God's doing something. And then as your pastor, I also want to say this isn't what I thought God was doing. You know, you don't invite someone to come along to be, you know, your co-pastor thinking that in 2 years this is going to happen. But you need to hear this. Mary and I, there's no red flags in our hearts. There's no, you know, are you sure or do you know what you're doing? That when they brought it up to us, we were like, yeah, this is what the Lord's doing. God's in this. And so once again, we trust in the Lord. And then this is the last comment I want to make before we pray. We've had a lot of pastors come and go at LifeSpring, and I love them all. I'm still connected to all of them. But that lead pastor, that senior pastor position, we've only had three. So Pastor Chad Skilperort founded this church in 2001. I took over as senior pastor in 2012. And then January of 2022, I invited Jesse Mendoza to be a senior pastor at LifeSpring Foursquare. Or was it 2021? 2022. Yeah, 2022. So this is a big deal for our church. We're sending out again, one of our best. And so can we just stand and maybe just extend our hands to this couple? Yeah, of course. Yeah. And before we pray, I know Debbie wants to share something. But church, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in this moment as we pray for them.
I just want you to know that this process, it started with the Holy Spirit. We have prayed, we have fasted, we have sought counsel. This was not a decision that we made lightly. It's been very difficult. But we are walking in obedience. Like we know without a doubt that the Lord has called us to what we don't know, but to prepare our hearts for whatever is next. And so whenever you think of us or pray for us, that's where this is coming from. You know, it's not that we want to walk away from you or leave you or, you know, it's just as it's been ever since Jesse and I have been together. It's like when the Lord calls, we go. And this is what that is.
That's right. So, God, we believe you are speaking. You're speaking. You're speaking not just over the Mendozas. You're speaking over us right now. And I just pray that you'd continue to speak. Spirit of God, fall fresh on this place. Wind of God, blow in this place. Fire of God, consume in this place. Would you do what only you can do? And we thank you for this couple. And I know people will be watching this on live stream and other times. We just want to pray right now and declare and speak into the atmosphere that this is a couple that is full of integrity and godly character. This is a couple that is trustworthy. This is a couple who love you, Lord. This is a couple, I want to say these things out loud to you, Lord. You know these things, but I just declare these. They are not a selfish couple. They are not trying to grab something out of selfish ambition. They are not people who manipulate or use others. This is a couple who is trustworthy, and that is why they are being sent out, because the work isn't over yet and the harvest is still ripe and the workers are few. And so you do send out your best, because we know there are people like that man on that video who still need to hear that Jesus was a real dude and is alive. And I just pray right now that there would be a fresh feeling of your spirit over Debbie and over Jesse. That even now, Lord, there'd be a touch as you touched Paul, as you touched Stephen, as you touched the disciples, as you touched all the Christian leaders for thousands of years. I just pray right now there'd be a touch over this couple from the top of their head to the bottom of the soles of their feet, that they would feel the empowerment of your spirit and that they would be led by your spirit. Lead them well. God, there's been some closed doors, and I believe every closed door has been your way of leading them to the open door that you have for them. And so we thank you for that, Jesus. Even now, there, I just pray that you would speak in dreams and visions to their hearts and to their minds, and that they would know that you are calling them forward. Lord, for LifeSpring, I pray that there would be space and room for every emotion, that, Lord, this is a safe place for joy with tears in our eyes, that this is a safe place for us to be doing okay 1 minute, but also really sad the next, that this is a safe place for us to grieve, but also rejoice. So, Lord, would you fall fresh on our hearts and our minds, that you know us, you care for us, you have a plan for us, and you're leading us. God, also, I just pray that each of us would be reminded that this life is not all there is. That when I take my last breath here, it will be my first breath into eternity. And for a long time, we're going to be rejoicing with the Mendozas of all that we got to be a part of in this wonderful season of salvation. So we pray as a church body, we say, Lord Jesus, do what you do. Do what you do. May the lost be found. May the blind see. May the lame walk. May this be a great season of the harvesting of souls, that not one would perish, that everyone would be saved, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
I love what Pastor Dan just said about joy with tears in our eyes, that it is okay to be sad, and we're sad because we love Pastor Jesse and Debbie so much, but we rejoice in what the Lord is doing in their lives. And what an incredible example of following Jesus, of walking in obedience. Because it's easy to walk in obedience when God asks us to do easier things. But it's in the hard things. So, Pastor Jesse and Debbie, we are so proud of you. And we celebrate you, and we love you, and we are here for you, and we are so excited to see what the Lord is going to do in you and through you. Thank you all so much for joining us this morning. It has been such a good day in the house of the Lord this morning. if you need prayer today, we would love to pray for you. Pastor Jesse gave such a great word about following Jesus, about walking in obedience. And maybe there are some things in your life that you realize, you know what, I haven't been stepping out in the way that I should, in the way that the Lord has been calling me. So take this time this morning and get some prayer. We would love to stand and contend with you, to pray over you. Our prayer team is going to be coming up. We would love to be able to pray for you. And remember, after service today too, for 18 to 30 year olds, it's after church at Domino's. You can head over there at 11:45 and hang out together. That's going to be a great time. Sign up for a table for 8. You can come see me and talk to me about that after church if you'd like. You have information on your handout. We would love for you to get into community with each other and grow deeper in your walk with Jesus. Could I have everyone stand, and we are going to say our benediction together. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great week.